Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Adi, welcome.
Thanks.
So, guys, today we're going to talk to you about technology. We're going to talk to you about creating boundaries around how we use technology. We're going to tell you about our personal experience of feeling used by different technologies and apps, our cell phone in particular, and what we've done to gain control over
regain control over technology so that we can maximize the benefit and minimize the cost.
Well put. But first, we would love to interact with you guys more. We would love to provide some sort of feedback loop where we start to talk more about the topics that you want us to discuss. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question that you want us to answer, if you have something in particular you want us to talk about, you want us to go out and research and discuss on here, please let us know.
Let us know by doing that and sending an email to info@workingagainstgravity.com.
Perfect. Let's get into this.
All right.
So I read a book last year called Deep Work by Cal Newport, and he brings up this concept called the any benefit effect in regards to mostly apps on a phone, but this is can really be applied to any form of technology. And the concept is that when we see any benefit from a form of technology or an app, if we see any benefit at all, then we assume it must be a good thing and we should allow it into our lives, right? If Instagram gives us a little bit of connection with our friends, then of course we should use it, right? If Uber Eats makes it a little bit more convenient to get food, then absolutely we should use it.
Totally.
However, what we're not doing, what we're rarely doing, is looking at the potential side effects or negative consequences of these apps and forms of technology. So today, we're just going to talk to you about our personal experience of kind of seeing some of those negative effects and what we've done to, as you said, minimize the negative effects and maximize what we get out of technology.
Right. And at least being conscious of the potential negative side effects that can come from really having technology integrated into your life, which seems to be not an option at this point. You know, like, especially in our generation, we own online businesses. Not having technology for us, that's not the way that we want to live our life. So we do want to have technology in our life, but we want to do so consciously so that we're also keeping in mind our own mental health, our own physical health, our relationships, and living the best life we possibly could together with technology.
Love it. So let's talk about the negative side effects that we've seen in ourselves as well as those around us.
Or just start like with how we even started to become paying attention to this.
Sure. Did you want to start us?
Yeah. So, I mean, why we even started going down this rabbit hole of cleaning up our digital environment, I guess you could say, was at the beginning of our relationship. I had a very different relationship with technology than I have now, and I think you did the same. We both were 6 months into running an online business that was becoming more and more successful. Our like trajectory was very linear at the time, and I was on my computer all day, every day, pretty much, on Instagram all day, every day, and I was more consumed by it than I was in control of what I was doing with technology, and that started, although we were madly in love with each other and very wanted to spend a lot of time with each other, it started having an effect on our relationship, or the other person saw how it was negatively affecting the other. So I could see how it was negatively affecting you and you could see how it was negatively affecting me. And then we started to have conversations about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about on the show. I think the first thing that we talked about was like we were living in a travel trailer, mm-hmm. at the time. And I remember waking up in the morning and you were usually up before me and I would look over and you were just on your cell phone playing on Instagram. And I absolutely hated it. Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, I would just, I don't even think I asked for what I wanted. I just started treating you like shit in the morning. And then...
not the best approach.
Totally,
people.
Totally. And then over time, I was like, could you just please not be on your phone? Could you just leave the room? And you had some sort of very funny response, like, how could I leave the room when you're still in bed? I don't want to do that.
Sounds like me, yes. For sure.
And so that, I think that was the start of it. And the feeling was I wanted, like, the first thing I wanted when I woke up in the morning was I wanted you to be present with me. And I felt like you were being present with other people mm-hmm. and the social world.
Right. And that was probably the first trigger that led to us thinking about the way that it was affecting us everywhere. Mm-hmm. So one negative consequence of social media was not only first thing in the morning was I not present with you, but I also I'm immediately putting myself into kind of like a reactive mode because I can't control what I'm about to see when I go onto my phone. So whether it's a text message, an email, a comment on social media, the number of likes I got, or whatever's happening on my phone, I'm not really in control of it. And as much as you're like, oh, it's not going to affect me no matter what I see, it's impossible for that to happen.
Right.
So regardless, if somebody says something mean or a post didn't get as many likes as I wanted it to get, or I got an email that was like a stressful email, even though I'm not going to respond to it right there, I'm still going to be thinking about it. And right. There's no way for me to avoid that. And that's automatically going to affect the way that I feel in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm immediately going into a reactive state instead of just being in the moment, like waking up present, relaxed, and enjoying, and like softly going into the day. Mm-hmm.
So we've got, it affects your ability to be present with mm-hmm. other people. It affects your ability to be proactive in the morning
yeah.
and to be really stress-free and to move into the day how you want, right? Mm-hmm. It just puts you immediately into a reactive mode. Mm-hmm. It makes it really hard to get into a flow state in anything you do, whether that be in the gym or at work. If you're, every time you get a little bit uncomfortable, or really just if you just compulsively look at your phone at social media or email or text messages, then it can be really almost impossible to get into a flow state.
Yes, definitely. I also think that it makes it way too easy to procrastinate. Like I could be doing something like editing a document or creating a piece of content or something. And the second I feel any pang of discomfort, like, oh, I don't know what to write, or like, oh, this is too hard, I could just grab my phone and it feels good. Mm-hmm. The best behavioral psychologists in the world are programming these things to make you feel good using them.
Literally the best in the world.
So that you keep using them. I think someone told me recently it was one of the things about Instagram is that they'll like pause the likes that you get so yeah. that you get more at once so that it feels better. Like you get a bigger dopamine hit when you go into the app. And they're like thinking about that. And so it's so easy for me to be working on something really important that means a lot to me, but it's uncomfortable. Like mm-hmm. most good things come with some discomfort. And it's easy for me to just like bypass that and then not get the work done that I really want right. most.
Yeah, that was in Cal Newport's second book, Digital Minimalism. They mm-hmm. found that unexpected forms of affirmation give you a bigger dopamine release, make you even happier than regular intervals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, another one could also be that it can help you avoid some things that you want to work on in your life. So mm-hmm. let's say you talked about how it actually can avoid just being with your own thoughts, which can make it very difficult for you to have insights. Mm-hmm. Like usually creative ideas, new insights, problem solving comes from just thinking time, like just being in your own thoughts. When you're focused on doing something, you're usually just like going through the steps, going through the motions of like solving a task that you already have a game plan for. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of space to be creative or innovative or come up with a new way of doing something. So being attached to your phone or using your phone as kind of like a crutch in those moments of like a great example is like you're sitting at a restaurant, the person that you're with goes to the bathroom. like that moment, the discomfort that you feel in your belly, you're like, oh my God, I totally want to just go on my phone and do I have any text messages? Do I want to go, how many likes did I get on social media? Like what did someone post? Like blah, blah, blah. Those moments, like just sitting by yourself, are more important than I think people give credit to.
No doubt. Yeah, it's a time for your mind to really decompress. And it also allows for this internal wisdom to actually come out. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, and this is mainly in regards to social media, it allows us to constantly be comparing ourselves to others.
Yeah, which like creates stress and anxiety, and a lot of it's not real. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the best that people are showing you, and sometimes it's even better than their best. Like mm-hmm. it's not even their best.
They're and you're just sitting over there thinking, man, I'm having such a shitty day over mm-hmm. here. I don't feel confident in myself or whatever.
Or like, look how amazing they're doing. They're so far ahead of me. Like, there's no reason for me to even try. Like, why should I even try if I'm never going to be as good as them? Or, and it might not even be real what they're showing you. Mm-hmm. Like, it might totally be better than what they think about themselves. So I think it can really add a lot to stress and anxiety. And it can make people think that they're getting value from it. Like, they're getting their own worthiness or their own value from social media if it's going really well. Mm-hmm. But then the negative consequences of that, if it's not going well, then you also put your value and worth in there. And like, right. I can be a personal example of that. Like, I used social media when we first met in a very different way. And I posted every day and I would share like what was actually going on in my life. And I think engaging with social media every day and being on it all the time, they reward you for that. Like the algorithm in Instagram or social media rewards you for interacting with it more often. So my like social media following would go up and it was never going down ever. And then when I kind of just like, we went through this process of cleaning up our digital environment, that's when my social media following started going down, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember talking to you about it, being like, oh my God, people don't like me. And it's like, who doesn't like me? I don't even know these people.
Right.
I don't know any of them. And it doesn't mean I'm less worthy.
Well, you know some of them, maybe 150.
Right. But it's like, it doesn't mean I'm less valuable. It doesn't mean I'm less worthy. But I did have those feelings. Like I had those feelings of, am I even going to be successful because my Instagram is going down, mm-hmm. you know?
So then we started to put some rules around our technology. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was around the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I heard this, but I heard basically the bedroom is for sleeping and sex, yeah. some version of that, which mm-hmm. makes perfect sense. So what we did is we started to leave our phones outside of the bedroom charging, and we just got a regular alarm clock. And at first, I was really nervous about it because I had used my iPhone as an alarm for years. And the first thing that I did every single morning was roll over, check if I had any text messages, any emails, any social media. And I didn't realize this until like in retrospect. I would just go in a loop, text message, email, social media, text message, email, social mm-hmm. media. And that could go on for 30, 45 minutes
yeah.
before I even get out of bed. Mm-hmm. What was the effect like for you, like at first leaving the phone out of the bedroom?
I mean, in general, if you want to do something, I'm just all about it. So I'm just like, cool. Like we're going to be better. Like personal development. Like I'm like, yeah. Like I probably was like super pumped about it actually.
Gotcha. Cool. So that was the first one. And it pretty much immediately eradicated the problem of rolling over and not feeling like the other was present with one yeah. another.
It also helped us discover the sunrise alarm clock, which I think is epic. If any yes. of you guys don't know what a sunrise alarm clock is, I think you can get them for like $20 on Amazon.
Where do we hear about that? From Matt Fraser
in Tribe of Mentors?
Yeah.
No, was it Tribe of Mentors? Or Tools of Titans?
No,
one
I think
of
it's
those.
Tribe of Mentors.
Yeah, Tribe of Mentors. So Matt Fraser said like, what was the one thing that you would buy under $100? And he said a sunrise alarm clock. And we bought the sunrise alarm clock. Basically wakes you up 15 minutes before your alarm clock. A light starts getting brighter and brighter as if the sun was rising. And then it's birds that wake you up versus like your iPhone that's like, wah, 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 which is the worst.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think the selling point was it's a much more comfortable way to wake up. Mm-hmm. And it allows you when you wake up to not feel as tired because you're slowly waking up with the light.
And it's not like abrupt either. It's not like, oh my gosh, I have to get up. You know what I mean? But yeah, so that helped. our next boundary that we created was at the dinner table, I think. Mm-hmm. Any meals, no phones are allowed at meals. You often see people have their phone just like sometimes not even upside down. Just like upside down is an improvement for sure. So you're not like getting the flash of the notification that comes on your screen. But having it upside down is better. But we don't have any phones at the table mm-hmm. at all. So I think that was our next one.
Yeah, because again, the problem was we would be at meals together and we would be trying to talk to each other, and one or the other would be, you know, as I'm trying to talk to Adi, she might be like looking at social media, and I know she's like only half listening to me. And that's a really shitty feeling. And we would do that with each other. And then we would notice other people doing that in social scenarios. We would do that. And we just knew that we didn't want to be those types of people. And we wanted to be present with others.
I think something too, that's like besides the point of being present with each other. I mean, that is true. Like I'm talking to you at dinner. A meal is kind of like a sacred time. Like you're spending time nourishing your body. It's like, you're eating food, you want to be present with your food as well. And then you're talking to this other person and gives you an opportunity to like share this experience over a meal. I think it's like a really beautiful time, meal time. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't look at your phone, but there's a flash that comes up on the screen and your eyes avert, because like you can't help it, like your eyes just avert, it gives that person the impression like that the phone is more important than what they're talking about, which is not a good feeling, but also it doesn't give you the opportunity to be present with your food. Like, actually feel full, actually be grateful for the food that you're eating. And it makes it a lot easier to overeat, to be unsatisfied from a meal, and to like have negative habits around food in general, not just around people.
Mm-hmm. So as often as possible, we will literally, like if we go out to eat, we'll leave the phone in mm-hmm. the car. If we're at home, it's probably just in our pocket, but we don't put it on the table. We don't answer it unless it's like some sort of emergency.
I think that the only caveat to this is that we don't have children. So having kids might make this situation different, and I can appreciate that. I do think there's settings on your phone that can put certain people that call on loud. So if they called, then you would know it was an emergency and that you would need to talk to them. That could definitely be a differentiator. Thinking if I was a mother, I might want to know if something was going on.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Another one is our intention is to, and we're not perfect with this, but our intention is not to use our phones the first, 90 minutes of the morning. Mm-hmm. We use Ramwad and a meditation app. So that's a little bit different, but we're not going into those apps that put us in reactive mode. No text message, no email, no social media. Adi's smiling over there a little bit because she's still working on
that.
This.
I'm still working on that one for sure. It's hard because it would be easier for me if I just like let you use your phone and I didn't even bring my phone. It's just like, it's definitely a little bit of an addiction.
We might have just hacked it.
Maybe
that's the solution.
Maybe. I think another boundary that I've created, I don't know if you do the same thing, but I get no notification sound or vibration on my phone at all.
Mm-hmm.
So my phone doesn't vibrate or make noise at all when I get notifications. I also have no notifications from social media or email.
Yeah, I kind of take that one for granted because we did that so long ago.
Yeah, so
that's
I don't
a
get
good one.
Like a text message will pop up on the screen. It won't say display the message. It'll say just like I've received a text message. Phone calls will pop up on the screen. I get nothing from social media, so Instagram, Facebook, nothing, and I get nothing from email. Anything that is going to like put me into work mode or into like comparison mode or stressing, like potentially like not be a good thing and not an emergency in any way, I don't get the notifications. But I also, even for text messages and phone calls, it doesn't make noise mm-hmm. or vibrate. So sometimes I have to like someone called and I'm like, oh, I didn't notice because my phone makes no noise and doesn't vibrate. So I'll just call them back.
Yeah, honestly, without a doubt, this is the most game-changing change you can make with your technology.
Game-changing change.
Yes. I didn't even realize I did that. I do think that this is the biggest one.
Mm-hmm. Again, it is different if you have children, for sure.
But can be just very selective about the notifications that you allow.
I think you can allow notifications for certain numbers. So I think that there is that setting on different phones. But if you don't have kids, just there's no reason. I always remind myself, like, there is no real emergency. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so unlikely that you have something that, like, you probably are going to look at your phone within the next 30 minutes, most likely. I'll look at it. If I have a missed call, I'll call that person back.
Mm-hmm. And finally, occasionally we take full days off of technology.
Yeah.
Which can be a huge, huge reset and allows us to really decompress. And it's just a really good habit to get into. So every now and then we'll take a Saturday or Sunday off. And occasionally we just go on backpacking trips where we take several days off.
Yeah. You just have no option.
Right.
That is like the ultimate is because it's the antithesis to social media is going into nature where you have no service and you can't use your phone. A, you're going to be in nature, which is great for you. And then B, you don't have the option of using your phone. And doing that for a couple days has been the best thing ever for me personally, because it does take me some time. Like it takes me some time to like actually get out of the vacuum that is the world and doing and social media and all that type of stuff. So like a couple of days out in nature, not being able to use my phone, I like actually disconnect and it feels so, so, so good.
Boom. Okay, guys. So just to wrap this one up, first off, I think it's a very, very important thing that you analyze how you're using different forms of technology. Look at all of the positive effects that you're getting from it, but also really think about the negative effects that it might be having on your life. Mm-hmm. Once you've laid that groundwork, then think about how you intentionally want to use these for your benefit to maximize what you get out of them and minimize the negative effects that it has on you. Mm-hmm. And then finally, create some boundaries around it. If you feel like we described feeling years ago, then create some boundaries around it. You can leave your phone out of the bedroom, out of the dinner table, take some time off from it, turn off your notifications, and then just come up with other ones that work for you. I'm sure you can easily Google search technology boundaries and things like that and get tons of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.